Well, let's read in the Gospel by Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justifying, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, a final reading in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus in the way. Now that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord will add a blessing to what we have heard and to these words that we have read together tonight. I would like to speak on something very simple. We have read of four calls. In Luke chapter 18, we have read of a sinner's call upon God. God be merciful to me, a sinner. In Hebrews chapter 9, we have read of death's call. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. People don't like to think about death. But friend, we are reminded constantly and daily. Death comes so unexpected. Here we have death's call. Death is called multitudes today. The day is not yet finished. Death will call others before this day is out. What if death should call you? Where would your soul be? We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 of the Savior's call for those that are saved. There's going to be a shout given by the man who died in the middle cross in Calvary. And every born again saved soul, they're going to respond to that shout. Whether they're dead or whether they're living. And together the dead and the living will be changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now Paul mentions himself as being amongst the living. He expected the Lord to come in his day. We're about 2,000 years closer now than what Paul was when he wrote these words. The Savior's call for those that are saved. We're firm believers that could take place tonight. Are you ready? We read in Mark chapter 10 of Bartimaeus. I read it for these four words. The Lord Jesus called Bartimaeus, and the people around him said, "Rise, he calleth thee." Here's the Savior's call to a sinner. We would like to apply tonight to you in this meeting if you're not saved. Friend, rise. He's calling you. What did Bartimaeus do? It says he threw away his garment. That is something that would have hindered him from coming to the Savior quickly. It was in his way. It was a hindrance. And he threw it to the one side. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling you tonight. No matter what that thing might be. Friend, throw it to one side. The drunkard, he needs to toss the bottle to get to Christ. The dope addict needs to throw away the needle and the dope to get to Christ for salvation. Whenever a person comes down and to do business with God, and they're willing to take the Savior's word, "Rise, he calleth thee." Friend, take it to your own soul tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling you, not to a religion, but he's calling you to himself. Bartimaeus went to the Savior. He had his sight restored and his soul saved. Would you like to be saved tonight? Friend, rise. He calleth thee. Throw everything to one side. He wants to save you. Do you want to be saved? Yes. When? Tonight or never? We trust you get down to business. Now the sinners call upon God. Many one has called upon God. Some out of curiosity. They've heard a message in Luke 18. And have said in their heart, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And nothing happened. I would like you tonight to think of this man's call. It was genuine. That is, he meant business. It wasn't a matter of saying a wee rhyme. God be merciful to me, a sinner. No, friend. This came from the depths of his heart. His sins bothered him. He realized, I'm going to hell. And it's my sins that are taking me there. And so he came to the temple at the hour of prayer. And he cries, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The sinners call upon God. Did you ever call upon God? Did you ever get down before God and cry, Oh God, save me? Peter cried that. He was walking in the water to the Lord Jesus, and he got taken up to the things around him, and he began to sink. When he was sinking, he cried, Lord, save me. He meant it. It was a genuine call. Did the Lord Jesus save him? He did. Did God have mercy in this man? He did. It was a personal call. It was concerning himself. The Pharisee was occupied with himself, measuring himself by others. Well, I'm as good as this person and that person. Not so the publican. He was ashamed of his sin. Are you ashamed of your sin tonight? You see, people don't like to face their sin. To talk about other people's sins, that's all right. But to think about your own sin and the consequences of your sin, you don't want to think about that. Why, that comes too close to home. Well, here's a man who faced his sin. The Pharisee said, I'm not as other men are. Extortioners. Those who squeeze money out of people. Falsely. Adulterers. He wasn't an adulterer. He says, or even as this publican, the publican may have been an adulterer. And he was ashamed of his sin. And he cried for mercy. And he got mercy. It was an earnest call. This man cried from the depths of his soul, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, it's a good thing when people face the facts, face reality. We're living in a day of sham and veneer. Beautiful plywood on the wall. How thick is the veneer? About the thickness of your thumbnail. That's only in the front. Then behind that, there's different stuff. It's not the same all the way through. But friend, I'm a sinner. Wants to get down to business. He's genuine. And this man was an earnest call. It was a distress call. His sins were taking him to hell. And he didn't know when he might miss salvation. And it came out of the depths of his heart. Oh, he was in distress. He needed mercy. What do you need tonight? Do you need mercy? Do you need salvation? Is that your greatest need? Well, we know that it is. And friend, God in mercy wants to save you. But then was a call of desperation. He had come to the end of himself. Oh God, if thou dost not have mercy upon me, there'll be no mercy shown to me. You see, he was helpless. Romans 5 and verse 6 we read, For when we were yet without strength, he could in no way save himself. We could in no way save ourselves. We were without strength. What happened? Christ died for the ungodly. In due time, Christ died upon the cross for sin, not his own. 43 years ago, I found out that Christ on the cross died for my sin. And by taking God at his word that Christ died for me, I had everlasting life. The sinners call upon God. Friend, if you have never called in earnest and in honesty, call tonight out of a heart burdened with sin. There's a God who's willing to listen. His ear is open to hear the cry of a repentant sinner. We read of death's call. Very solemn. Death calls unexpected. Death makes intrusions into the lives of people and erects their plan. Many have plans made, but something comes in and those plans are wrecked. The day before I left Nova Scotia, I preached at a man's funeral. He had left the country, the urban area, and gone closer to the city to live, him and his wife. And they bought a trailer. There was little land with it. And he was planning to get a couple of steers just to have them, to fatten them, and then to kill them and eat them. That was his plan. But he went into the woods on his tractor, and he was pulling out a log. That log must have hit a stump or something, but it turned round and hit the man. He was on a life machine for 2 days. The doctor said, "There's nothing more we can do." And they took the machine off, and in about half an hour, he was in eternity. Unexpected. He was making plans. It is appointed unto man once to die. After death is judgment. Friend, tonight, death is on your track, it's on my track. I know that. But there's one thing that I know. Should death claim me tonight before I reach home, it is well with my soul. Let me ask you kindly, how would it be with your soul? Should unexpected death cross your path? Mr. John McCracken and I had meetings in Londonderry, Nova Scotia. We rented an athletic hall there and had some gospel meetings. The first night there were 18 teenagers. That was all our audience, and John and I at the meeting that Sunday night. That was the start. One night after the meeting, after one of the meetings, a young man stayed behind to inquire more about the way of salvation. He was interested in being saved. He would have loved to have had his sins forgiven, but there was something that stood in his way that night. He happened to come from the northeastern part of Quebec. And he was going home for Christmas. This was just before Christmas. He went home for Christmas. And with a number of other young men, they all began to drink. Then they got on their snowmobiles. And there's a river there and a fall. And at the falls, where the water comes down, there the ice gets thin and there's not much water showing, but it all flows underneath. So these young men in their drunken stupor, maybe this fellow sat in gospel meeting, had anxious thoughts about his soul. They dared each other. Who could go the closest to those falls? Well, Herman Cox, that was his name, he went the closest. He went near the falls. They were going past each other, edging forward. Down went his machine, and Herman right down into the water. The flow of the water took him under the ice. They thought they would never find his body again. In the spring, when the ice melted, there happened to be a log sticking out from the shore underneath the ice. Herman's body caught on the log. And in round March, they were able to recover his body. But it had been there for about 3 months. But yet, death calls, unexpected. He didn't expect death to claim him that night. Oh, they were daring boys. They were going to go close. Is that not the way with souls and salvation? They like to put salvation off as long as they can and see how long that they do it. And then they perish in their sins and land in hell. What an eye-opener. Ah, friend, tonight, death calls. Death calls old people. Death calls middle-aged people. Death calls young people. Death may call you tonight. How would it be with your soul for eternity? Remember the Savior's call for the saved. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now Paul is writing to people who are saved. He had been to Thessalonica. He preached the gospel. And these people got God's salvation. Now he's writing a letter to them. Some of them had died, and they were concerned about what happened. We're waiting for the Lord to come. And here's some of our company. They were saved. They have died. What's going to happen to them? For they're dead. So Paul writes this in chapter 4. And he tells us very clearly and plainly what's going to take place. Guided by the Spirit of God, he says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Listen carefully. The dead shall rise first. That is, there'll be a movement in the graves of every born-again soul. They're going to rise first. Then we who are living, we're going to be changed. All in a moment, caught up together in the air to meet the Lord Jesus Christ who had called us. In John chapter 11, the Lord Jesus came to the grave of Lazarus. Lazarus was dead 4 days. He cried, "Lazarus, come forth." Did that dead man hear his voice? He did. And he came forth, bound hand and feet, with grave clothes. When the Lord gives a shout, with the voice of the archangel, all who are in the graves who were saved, they're going to be changed and raised. And we who are living changed and together caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Savior may give us call for the saved ones tonight. Would you rise to meet him? When I was a boy, maybe they still play it, used to play hide and seek. Close your eyes, count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Coming. Hid or not hid. Friend, the Savior's coming. Ready or not ready. Which class are you in tonight? Ready for heaven or not ready? Those who are ready, gone. Those who are not ready, left behind. We're living in strange times. We think of the Middle East. Boiling point in this world. That's where the Savior left. That's where he's coming back. His feet are going to stand again on Mount Olivet. There's the Jews and the Arabs, half brothers. They've been fighting for years. Now they're signing deals. But Whenever they say peace and safety, they think they've got it made. Going to be no more trouble in the Middle East. Then comes sudden destruction right upon them all. They think they've got safety. They think there's going to be a safe place for the Jews and the Arabs. This world, again, is never going to be a safe place. After the 39-45 war, those of us who were living then, I was young at the time, but I remember them dancing in the streets. There's never going to be any more war. Wars are finished. Has that been the case? There's been more war since 1945 in this world, they say, than what there was up until 1945. So many. And yet, friend, they thought it was going to be a place of peace. Peace on earth? The only time peace will come when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to reign as a king upon this scene. Before he comes to reign, he's coming to the air. How soon and how near that coming is. Then will the Savior's call for you tonight. Bartimaeus, rise, he calleth thee. Throwing away his garment, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did he get his sight restored? He did. Could you come tonight to the Savior? Well, he said in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Multitudes of souls have come to Christ. They have trusted him. They have believed on him. And they got everlasting life. If you come to him tonight, his promise is, I will in no wise cast you away. Sinner, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come tonight. Rise. He calleth thee. Throw every hindrance away. And come to the Savior. You'll never be sorry. Neither in time nor in eternity. May you come tonight and trust him and go on your way rejoicing. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in thy presence with thanksgiving. We thank thee for the suffering Savior, the one who bears in his body tonight the marks of Calvary, his hands, his feet, and his side, those wounds that were inflicted because of our sinning. Christ died for our sins, was buried according to the Scriptures, and raised again according to the Scriptures. We pray tonight that some soul may come to him and depend on the finished work of the cross and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Bless the gospel elsewhere, everywhere where Christ is preached. Save souls tonight. To God be the glory. We ask in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember the meetings announced in the will of the Lord. We're glad to see you tonight. Try and get back each night if you can. Number 82. O sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee in sorrow and pain. The first verse and chorus of number 82.